Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Coast to Coast, This Week in America. It was almost 9 years ago when the murder of 2-year-old Kaylee Marie Anthony and the trial of Casey Anthony, her 22-year-old mother, shocked the nation. Leading True Crime Network Investigation Discovery explores the controversial and tragic case in Casey Anthony, an American murder mystery, a three-night television event beginning Sunday, April 9th at 10 Eastern Pacific. One of those featured in the re-examination of one of the most controversial cases of all time, award-winning investigative journalist, author, syndicated columnist Diane Diamond, known for her ability to present complicated cases in an understandable, common-sense way, earning praise for being a fearless investigative reporter. In high school, Diane was receptionist for an Albuquerque TV and radio outlet, drawn to the newsroom, becoming a radio newscaster covering the cops and court beat in Albuquerque, then a national voice, NPR's All Things Considered, Capitol Hill correspondent for RKO Radio Network, reporter for WCBS-TV in New York City, senior investigative correspondent for Hard Copy, a major role at Court TV where she broke the child molestation allegations made against Michael Jackson, and countless appearances on major broadcast networks, print outlets including her weekly Crime and Justice syndicated column, a best-selling author, her latest Thinking Outside the Crime and Justice Box, and now featured on Investigation Discovery's Casey Anthony, an American murder mystery beginning April 9th for three nights. And Diane Diamond is with us on This Week in America. Diane, welcome to the program. It's great to have you with us today.
Well, thank you so much for that. Wow, you did your homework on me, didn't you, Rick?
Well, I've listened to you with great respect over the years, and it's a true honor to have you with us on the program today. And this is a fascinating case that you covered. We're going back now and taking a real deep look inside the case. Back to the phone call, for example, that launched the police investigation, a call from Cindy Anthony, Casey's mother, which the police described as being strange, a strange call. Take us back from the beginning of all of this.
Yeah, this is how the whole case started. It was mid-June 2008, and the police get three 911 calls from this woman named Cindy Anthony. She wants a police officer to come out and arrest her daughter for stealing her car. Well, once the police get to the house, they realize, whoa, this is way bigger than stealing a car. And by the way, the car is there. It's in the garage right now. The bigger story they discover is that the woman who's called with her daughter standing next to her has a granddaughter who's been missing for 31 days. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm a parent, and if I had a 2-year-old child that was missing for more than a month, I would have been frantically telling somebody, everybody,
yes,
the police, my parents, whoever would listen to me. But Casey Anthony, they discovered, hadn't told anybody for 31 days. And that's how this whole investigation started.
And it became one lie after another. Talk about that. And that's one of the things, besides the fact that this child was missing, the lies, because it seemed in many people's minds, this prevented the police from actually trying to find out if the girl was still alive.
Exactly, exactly. And that's what our Investigation Discovery Special does. We take the whole factual timeline and we lay it out for you so that you see how this investigation, especially in the beginning, in those crucial first days, was so compromised by all the lies that Casey Anthony told. Oh, she had a nanny named Zanita Gonzalez. That turned out not to be true. She worked at Universal Studios in the planning department. That turned out not to be true. And we take you through the entire investigation, but this first part is so compelling because we talk to the original investigators, and they tell us how, for example, they went to Universal Studios with her to talk to some of the colleagues that she said she told her daughter was missing. Well, let's go talk to them. And Casey Anthony lies her way into the building, takes them down the long hallways to her supposed office, and when this walk down the hallway ends like at a dead end, like at a bathroom door,
yes,
she turns around and says, oh yeah, okay, I don't work here.
Wow.
Maybe? I mean, that casually? You not only lie, but you carry out the lie to the point where it might work out for you. But when it doesn't, you just shrug your shoulders.
You've covered a lot.
To hear the cops talking about this is just fascinating.
Well, you've covered a lot of people that have been found guilty. And you mentioned she was so casual about her lies. Have you ever seen anyone who was able to lie like that and maybe even believe it herself?
No, not in any criminal case and not in my life. I mean, I come into contact with some real characters, and they'll tell you a lie, and then you'll counter it, and you'll give them the facts, and they'll go, oh, yeah, okay, you got me. This woman lived, her life was a lie. Everything about her was a lie, but she'd look right at you and act as if it was the truth. So to me, that says something is wrong in between the eyebrows here, you know.
Yes.
There's a real mental diagnosis. I don't know, narcissistic, psychotic. I don't know. I'm not a doctor, but there's something really wrong with that woman.
On the program with us today, This Week in America, our guest is award-winning investigative journalist, author, syndicated columnist Diane Diamond, part of Investigation Discovery, exploring the controversial and tragic case, Casey Anthony, an American murder mystery, a special three-night event beginning Sunday, April 9th at 10 o'clock Eastern Pacific. Give me your impression of the parents, grandparents in this case, and were watching, and they're caught between their daughter's lies and the desperation to find their granddaughter, and then the grief when they find out the daughter was killed. Talk about your impression of the family, the Anthonys, then and now.
You know, I remember Cindy and George Anthony coming into court every day. And in the beginning, I mean, they looked like two little lost souls. They're not very big people, and she was clutching one of Kaylee's teddy bears in the first few days of the trial, and they got a special dispensation to sit in the courtroom by the judge, Belvin Perry, because it involved their granddaughter, and even though they were going to be witnesses, he allowed them to sit if they didn't show any emotion and they didn't upset the peace of the courtroom. So I remember them day after day after day coming in. I remember them on the stand, especially George Anthony was called several times. And the brave emotion that you could see them trying to keep it together.
Yes.
Every single day. So now we have gone back and re-interviewed the Anthonys all these years later. And it's fascinating to see that same pain is on their faces, especially George. You know, this guy, both of the parents today are united in their belief that their daughter caused their granddaughter's death. I can't tell you everything, but they do disagree on how they think it happened. But the pain on their face today is reminiscent of the pain I saw in the courtroom. I mean, how do you shed that kind of pain off your heart when you know your daughter did something to your granddaughter to cause her death? You know, during the trial, I must say, George Anthony was made the target of derisiveness by Casey Anthony's attorney, Jose Baez. He just launched into this unsubstantiated crap, if I may say.
Well, that's what it was. Yes.
Word,
yes.
About you know, George is the one who disposed of the body, and George has been sexually molesting his daughter all these years, and not one scintilla of evidence put forward to this. And when George was the first witness on the stand, and on cross examination, what did Jose Baez do? He didn't talk about these allegations of sex abuse. He didn't talk. He said, "Hey, you tried to commit suicide, didn't you?" And we use this clip from the courtroom in the special, and you can just see the hand of God crushing this man's soul. Not only is his granddaughter dead, his daughter is accusing him of all these things, and now you're going to reveal the fact that I tried to commit suicide? It was just such a crushing human moment. I will always remember it.
You know, I can remember that as well. Just as a viewer in following this case and seeing the two of them, in particular, as you mentioned, George up on the stand, when you look at what happened, looking back now with having the benefit of hindsight, What happened to the verdict? How could they come back with a not guilty verdict?
Well, you know, the bottom line was, and I'm not a lawyer, but you'll hear the medical examiner, Dr. G, on our special, say, it's because I couldn't tell you how this child died. So if you can't say how the child died definitively, how can you say who killed her? And the jury bought it. I mean, that was their excuse to come back with a not guilty of first-degree murder. In my opinion, I think maybe the prosecution overcharged here. First degree is premeditated murder. You know, I'm going to kill my child, and here's how I'm going to do it, and I'm going to do it on this date, premeditated. If they'd gone for a lesser charge, maybe the jury wouldn't have bought that argument. But I never really understood it, to be honest with you. Who cares how she died precisely? She died. And you were the mother in charge of this 2.5-year-old, and she's dead. And the trunk of your car smells like decomp and chloroform. And, gee, that's a pretty big piece of evidence. But the jury didn't agree.
This is going to be fascinating. You go back and reexamine some of the key players. We've got a minute or so left in the program. What impact did this case have on you? We're looking back 9 years after the crime. The trial was in 2011. Do you ever walk away from something like this?
No. I mean, of course, you walk away and you go home and you try to get on with your life. But there have been cases in my life, probably 3 or 4, that I can't get out of my head. And this is one of them. JonBenet Ramsey case was another, which Investigation Discovery had a three-part series on that as well.
Yes, for a moment.
I'm so glad that ID is going back and looking at these long cases, because I never stop thinking about it. Why? I think it's because why everybody hasn't stopped thinking about it. A 2.5-year-old beautiful child didn't get to live her life because of the adult in her life being irresponsible. There's just no justice. I guess that's really the shorter answer. There has been no justice for Kaylee Anthony, and I, for one, hope I live to see it.
I got about a minute left. I need to ask you, Casey is talking a little bit now, an interview a couple of weeks ago. Can you believe anything she says?
No. That's the really short answer.
Exactly.
No. I read the article that you're talking about with the Associated Press, and she still remains defiant. Kaylee Anthony doesn't care what you think about her. She sleeps just fine, thank you very much. And, gosh, she thinks about her child every day, and if she was here, music she'd be listening to and what we'd be doing together. Really? Now you're thinking about all that stuff. How about when your daughter was, you know, ingesting too much chloroform or whatever happened to her? I just think it's a little disingenuous for us to believe anything Kaylee Anthony says today.
We're going to see some new evidence, insight from those closest to the Anthony family. Never before seen footage of Kaylee. We're talking about Investigation Discovery, exploring the controversial case, Kaylee Anthony, an American murder mystery, a special 3-night event beginning Sunday, April 9th, 10 Eastern Pacific on Investigation Discovery. Part of that, author, syndicated columnist, award-winning investigative journalist Diane Diamond, our guest on the program. Diane, thank you so much for being with us. I look forward to this and a lot of great information during the course of the program. And nobody's ever said crap on a legal interview before. Hey, I said you were understandable. That's what I like about you.
There's always a first time. Diane Diamond on. You never know what I might say.
Thank you so much for being with us. You are listening to This Week in America, website thisweekinamerica.us.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.